Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, Israel. This is your teacher, Eric. I'm just going to go ahead and look for a sound check. We got a new setup this week, trying to get everything in order. So go ahead and let me know how I'm coming in, Brother Ugly, and if I need to make some adjustments, turn it up, turn it down, whatever I need to do. Going ahead and waiting on that. I'm a 10. Got 110 in, 10 in. All right, that's good, that's good. So how are you, saints of the Most High? Yah, bless you. I pray that you've had a very productive day. My day has been very, very, very busy, and I'm sure that yours has too. It's always nice getting it in. He says turn it up a little bit, so let me adjust this gain. We're going to go up. See how that goes. Turn it up a little bit, he says. All right. So getting after it today, very productive day. If you're all listening to this while you're working, just keep on working and getting it done. We have some sunset. Turn it up a little. Got a thumbs up on that. I think I'm about maxed out in here if I look at the gains on the mic. All right, only the second time on here, so just bear with me as I do my adjustments and get everything rolling. Shalom, saints. Let me try this. Where are we at? And just let me know how it keeps rolling. Oh, we're good now. We're good now. He says we're good now. Okay. We're going to get after it. All right, so yeah, everybody's working out there, getting it done. I'm glad to see all of the posts that you share and all of the work that you've been getting in. We see like Elder Mitch just being a shining example to all of Israel. What a beautiful job he's done. Can you believe that was done in 2 years? When Pastor said that, I just couldn't even believe it. I remember when they went out to look at that land and they were surveying that land. And to know, wow, just 2 years later, the amount of work that was done is truly an inspiration. And to hear that at year three, Pastor saying that he should be where Straightway was at in year 10. That shows you the obedience and the willfulness and the vision. The people perish, the work will perish without a vision. So if you're in your geographical location and you're not better year after year, then you have no vision. So the work of your hands is perishing. We see the work that's going on with Elder Rufus and his community. What a beautiful job they're doing, putting in the new tabernacle. He's sharing that all with us. Is an inspiration to light a fire underneath your ass and to get you out and to get you want to do it. I know that lights a fire underneath my ass. So if that lights a fire underneath your ass. Go ahead and put a 7 in the comment section so I know that you're all listening, because we have so many examples going before us. What about the Indiana brothers? Holy smokes, are they getting it done or what? Every time they come on and they show a new example of the work they're getting done, it's unbelievable that just the movement to know that the Ruach is working and operating through them and the work at their hands. You've got the fruit. That's one thing you always need to look at, whether it be in your spiritual body, whether it be in your physical body, whether it be on your physical land. Judge the fruit of what you're doing, and that's going to let you know, are the things that you are doing, are the things that you're putting in place, you think you're walking the right way? Well, the fruit is never, ever going to lie. And I've heard great things about Brother Jonathan getting it done. I believe it's out there in Dallas. Maybe right, maybe wrong about that. Nevertheless, I'm not wrong about hearing how he's getting it done, coaching and getting the Saints' hearts ready for this, the next level. We hear about it in Florida. Those brothers there are just rocking and rolling as well. And I hear that Brother Israel is also going to be sharing some information on herbs. I know I'm excited about that. Are you all excited about that? It's going to be terrific to have a brother, a sound brother in Israel with a straight way that we know is going to be teaching on herbs and getting all that out. So what a blessing that is. Well, I'm just going to start off the day, because it's interesting to me that I was actually doing my first Blog Talk Radio, if you could barely even hear me that day, but I was doing Blog Talk Radio on what the world calls Mother's Day. So here I go again on what the world calls Father's Day. And, you know, today when I came in, I'm getting everything set up and clicking on the different things I need to. I noticed that there are, what do you want to call it, saints out there that are actually sharing Father's Day wishes among the people. I found that a little shocking that they would be sharing things like that, because there are only certain feasts, right, that Yahweh has prescribed to his people on his calendar. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is on his calendar. Let me go ahead and I'm going to flip right here real quick. You know, when he brought us out, he said to the Israelites, this be the first of months unto you. Did he not? Did he not? It didn't matter, like I said the last time I was on here, if they were in, you know, the eighth month or the sixth month or the third month. He said, this will be the first of months unto you. Exodus 12, chapter 2, the new moon is the beginning new moons for you, Israel. It is the first new moon of the year for who? For the heathen? For the people that they're in back in captivity with? And think about this. Would Yahweh have to declare that this is the first month unto you if it was the first month in the land that they were held captivity in? Well, that wouldn't have been news. He wouldn't have had to say that. It'd be like, hey, we know we're in the first month. What's next? No, he said, this is the first month unto you, letting them know, hey, you're leaving all that behind, and I'm going to give you a fresh start. And I'm going to lay out feast days for you all, some celebrations for you all, because I know how much you all like celebrations, right? I mean, don't you like to celebrate? I know I like to celebrate. So let's kick it over then, and we can go into Leviticus. Chapter 23, giving you all time if you're flipping along to get there. And it says, and Yahweh spake. Well, this is nothing new to us, Israel. This should be familiarity. And Yahweh spake to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yahweh. He's got to educate us, because, you know, we were inundated with all the holidays and all the gods of Egypt and all the pollutions of Egypt. So he had to come out and say, hey, this is the first month unto you. And then, hey, these are going to be the celebrations that you're going to have month. And they are celebrations and appointed times of Yahweh. which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings. My appointed times are these, and he's going to go ahead and he's going to list them out for you. He said to proclaim those days. He didn't say to proclaim Father's Day. He didn't say to selfishly proclaim your own birthday. He didn't tell you to proclaim your wedding anniversary, which I know is a hitch on a lot of you, and I don't understand why a wedding anniversary is a hitch for a lot of y'all. Because if you're going to celebrate a wedding anniversary, but you're going to tell somebody they can't celebrate the anniversary of their son's birth, does that not seem a little hypocritical? You're going to celebrate your wedding anniversary, but you're going to say you can't celebrate the anniversary of a war victory. Does that not sound a little hypocritical? Well, I know that in Yahweh's calendar, he gave us a wedding anniversary to celebrate. Do you all know what that is? We'll see if you put it in the chat. Do you know what the wedding anniversary on the calendar of the Most High Yah is? It is Shavuot. It is Sukkot. Isn't that when we gave our I do's to the Most High Yah and we were blood ratified? Isn't that, oh, and Brother Ugly has tabernacles. Yep, that is the wedding celebration. That is where we're going to sit down. See, this is the thing, is that we have a wedding anniversary in Shavuot because that is when we exchanged our vows, and then he came into us in Jerusalem, where he came into us and sealed us with his Ruach, a circumcision that was not done by hands. And then at that time we were confirmed and we were sealed until our day of redemption. And I know that you guys in your wedding anniversaries, you know, you love to go out and take your honey out to eat. Well, the Most High Yah is going to take us out to eat when he sits us down at the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's going to be a great dinner, is it not? Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And for those that say, hey, but I just can't tell my child, I can't celebrate a birthday. I mean, look at him. Isn't that something that we should celebrate? Well, don't you know that that is a selfish act? And it's even that Job's children were celebrating the days of their gods and their birth, and that Job wasn't even invited. And Job didn't even go, but he was up at the altar trying to make recompense for his children's sins. Go read that in Job if you haven't read it recently. And we do have a birthday celebration in the law. Did you know that? Did you know that we have a birthday celebration in the law? But it is not Christmas, because you ain't going to find Christmas in Leviticus 23. I'm sorry to disappoint you all. No, hey, I'm not sorry to disappoint you all. But what you're going to find is Passover. You're going to find Passover, and at the Pesach, isn't Yeshua HaMashiach called the Lamb of Elohim? When the Lamb came into the world, that gave reason for you to celebrate, because the Passover Lamb came in, and not one leg was broken, not one bruise or scratch would have come upon him in a spiritual manner where they inspected him to see if he had any sin and he was without blemish. But the body was broken, but not the bone, and he was without blemish, and he was impaled on the stake for you and our transgressions. So if you want to celebrate the birth of somebody, it better be Yeshua HaMashiach in the mindset of Passover. But isn't it better to celebrate the day of one's death than of one's birth? Well, I would certainly say so. And if Yeshua hadn't died, none of this would have happened for us today to be cleansed in his sins. So now that I'm done a little bit with that rant, you do read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, going to verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 12, going to verse 28. Guard and obey all these words which I command you, that it might be well with you and your children after you forever. When you do what is good and what is right in the eyes of Yahweh your Elohim. When Yahweh, your Elohim, does cut off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you to dispossess them and dwell in their land, yeah, when Yahweh cuts off from you your grandmama, yeah, when Yahweh cuts off from you your grandpapa, when Yahweh cuts off from you your wives and your sons and your daughters, because a sort of division runs through your household, what do? It says in verse 30 that you guard yourself that you are not ensnared to follow after them. you to cut them off. So what do? Do they stay cut off? No, they don't stay cut off. They contact you, don't they, by phone, and they try to plead to your heartstrings. You need to come to grandma's house. It's her birthday. You need to come over to grandpa's house because it's Christmas. Hey, what about your sons and daughter? Hey, it's her birthday. Don't you want to be there for your birthday? Because the wife stripped the children out of your hands, and that might be the one time that you can show that you're going to be there in front of them. No, at that time, you need to stand. At that time, you need to be an example. At that time, you need to be a light, as Yeshua was a light, that you can show your good works, and then they can come to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So it says that you guard yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow after them after they are destroyed from before you. And I tell you what, you're never to glorify when you see Yahweh bring somebody down. But all these people that came up against me when I was coming into the faith, I see them get brought down. And I don't like always seeing it, but it happened. I tried to warn them, but they wouldn't heed the warning. And you see diseases come upon these people, your ex-family members that persecuted you and hated on you. You see that all of a sudden financially they're strapped. All of a sudden they got problems with their jobs. All of a sudden they got problems in their lives, left and right and right. And all you'd have to do is repent, but they ain't gonna do that, are they? But when they are destroyed, when they are destroyed, it says that you do not inquire about their mighty ones, saying, how do these nations serve their mighty ones? Let me do so too. Do not do so to Yahweh your Elohim, for every abomination which Yahweh hates, they have done to their mighty ones. And he's going to give you an extreme example by saying, for they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their mighty ones. Well, what do you think that each one of you did that was in Christianity that took your children and had them put up a Christmas tree and hang ornaments on it? What do you think you did to your children every time you brought them to the church lawn and had them do a picnic where they're chasing after Easter eggs from the rabbit? What do you think you did to your children every time you set them down to a ham sandwich? What do you think you did to your children when you taught them to be more excited about their birthday than the coming of the Son of the Lamb? Don't you know that every feast in Leviticus 23 points to Yahweh's salvation? It all maps it out. So everything you celebrate should focus on Yeshua and him coming into the world. So if you're celebrating something that doesn't focus on Yeshua HaMashiach and wasn't given in Leviticus 23, then it is not well with you or your children after you. And he said, don't do that. Because in the fire, they did this in the fire to their mighty ones. And 32 reads, all the words I am commanding you. That's your Torah. That's your Torah. Why do you think everybody wants to do away with the Torah? Why do you think they try to practice replacement theology? And see, the cunning wile of the devil is they'll say, we're not telling you to put your Bible down. We're not telling you to rip out the Old Testament or the law. But what we want to do is cause enough confusion that you begin not to take it seriously and that you don't obey it. So you didn't physically rip it out of the Bible in your hands, but you tore the pages out of the Bible in your heart. How do you like that? And that's what each and every one of them tried to do. That's what the Christians tried to do. Yeah, we won't tear the Torah out, but we're going to tell you it's done away with. And when you open your Bible, you better turn to John chapter 1 and forget about Genesis chapter 1. That's what the Mormons did. Oh, that Bible's a good writing. Yeah, everything's good and so forth and so on. But we got another testament. We got a better testament made on better promises, and they want you to read that one. So they done away with one, and they gave you another. Or other people come in, and they try to show you, oh, that the pen of the scribe spoke in the Yeremiah, the prophet. It worked throughout your whole Bible, but yet when you have the Ruach, you can see through all these scribe writings that aren't accurate. Why? Because the Torah, the word of Elohim, was kept intact. We got it proven through the Dead Sea Scrolls. We got it proven when we take the Torah and we test it through all the prophets and we test it through all the writing and when we test it among Yeshua HaMashiach and the way he walked and how the word was made flesh and how it lined up perfectly with every word in Torah. Torah is a rock that you can stand on. Torah is a rock that you can count on. And Torah is a way that you can judge everything to see if it's of Yah. Torah is your defense against the devil. Did you know that? when the devil comes up and he whispers in the ear and he tries to get you to sin against the Most High, when he tries to get you to walk to the left or to the right, and he tries to get you off that straight path, you know what you got to do when he's whispering those sweet little temptations in your ear that pulls right on your heartstrings? You quote back Torah. What did Yeshua HaMashiach do in the garden when he was tempted with bread? To turn the rock into bread, and he said to Satan, he says, a man live not on bread alone, Satan, but he lives by every word of Yahweh, which is in your law. And what about when he says, throw yourself off this cliff, and not even your feet will dash the rocks? And he says, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. What about that, Satan? In all of that, when Yeshua HaMashiach quoted the Torah telling you how to fight Satan, what did Satan do? Did Satan get stronger when Yeshua HaMashiach quoted Torah? Did Satan grow more bold and enabled when Yeshua HaMashiach quoted Torah? No, he didn't get stronger, and no, he wasn't enabled. He was disarmed. He was dysfunctioned, and he fled. Did you hear what I said? I said Satan fled when he quoted Torah. So any time that the devil comes and whispers in your ear, you have a defense, saints. You got the Torah working inside of you, written on the tables of your heart and in your mind. And you could quote Torah to the enemy, and the enemy is going to flee. So what is the enemy going to want to do? The enemy is going to want to get you to get rid of the Torah. So anytime anybody tries to come in and paint this little BS thing in your head that, hey, the Torah is not something you can rely on, but guess what we got? We got another Torah written by another author that we would like you to submit to. They always got somebody else for you to submit to. Yeah, they don't want you to listen to your pastor. They don't want you to listen to your teacher. They don't want you to listen to your elder. They don't want you to listen to your deacon. They don't want the wives listening to the husbands. But guess who they want them to listen to? Them. Them. And so he said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, 32, all the words I'm commanding you, guard to do it, do not add to it, nor don't take away from it. And I'm telling you, do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, I'll serve Yahweh. And when you add to the calendar of Yah, you're adding to his word, which was forbidden, and you're causing confusion. And you don't see people just stop with one little thing like that. These people I've seen that want to break Sabbath. Oh, this one's for my job. Next thing, they're out. I know Elder Mitch dealt with some of that. Oh, I'm just going to go work on Shabbat one. And he tried to warn the people. They wouldn't listen. Now they're gone. Now they're not enjoying the fruits of all the labor of the saints in that beautiful place in Strayway, Kentucky. Hey, don't you love Yah? I know that I love Yah. And don't you want Yahweh to hear your voice? And how do you know that if Yahweh's even hearing you or you're hearing Yah? Do you know how to come correctly to Yah? Or do you just waltz on in filthy and disgusting? Think about that. Think about that. Do you, when you go out, now, I mean, how many of y'all like to bust your rear end 6 days a week so you can actually obey the commandments and enjoy the seventh day? So you're out grinding, and you're getting stinky, and you're getting dirty, and you got it all over you, and you walk in, and your Isha's like, oh, boy, please to go to the shower. I got a hot grub on the table, but could you please just go to the shower first? My goodness, right? Well, would you just go and not only not take a shower, but would you jump into your nice, crisp linen bed sheets, filthy, nasty, and dirty? Well, that would be disgusting to sleep in your own mire, would it not? But then why will you jump into the bed of the Most High Yah with the Most High Yah that way? You think about that for 1 minute, and I'll be coming back on. We're going to hear from Sister Winda. Much love to the house of Brother Steve out there in Canada. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to the Straightway Truth live stream. We are very happy you found us. It is our pleasure to bring you the truth of Jesus Christ, and we pray you are finding great peace. If you would like to bless this ministry using Cash App, select $PastorDowell. That's $PastorDowell. If you would prefer PayPal, the email address to use is dowell7000@gmail.com. That's dowell7000@gmail.com. And please select the Friends and Family option. It is also possible to use YouTube's Super Chat. However, only a portion of your donation will be received because 30% is retained in fees. We are very grateful, and we thank each and every one of you for blessing this ministry as it is laid upon your hearts. Shalom. The King is coming.
That's right. That's right. The King, he is coming. So if we're kicking in here, we got some good preaching. We got some hallelujahs. We got some woo-wee bombs. Thank you for sharing the PayPal. That's a good idea. Thank you for sharing the PayPal. Thank you for doing that. Do you know when the word says that, it says that if you're going to preach the gospel, that you should live by the gospel. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, click into 7. Am I coming in good? Am I back on? Do we have a good connection? I got to keep checking in on that. So the word says that if you preach the gospel, you should live by the gospel. Do we got some sevens? Do we got some sevens? Do we hear that? Do we hear that? We do. There it goes. Well, I want you all, you can write that down. Go look it up. What Paul was talking about is that when you got a man of Yah that is feeding you, right? Because the Levitical priests, were they not sustained by the offerings that were brought in? Did they not get their bellies full because they didn't have an inheritance that Yah gave them, that was their inheritance? Their bellies got full, correct? And they were doing the work. They were doing the work for each and every one of you at that time underneath that administration. Well, under the administration of Yeshua HaMashiach, he has gifts that he gives to the body, does he not? And that they that preach the gospel, they should be sustained by the gospel. That means that they should be sustained by you. Go read it. Go read it. If you think that I got that wrong or I'm confused or I'm trying to mistranslate, go read that. Go look it up and go read it for yourself. Because that means you should not muzzle the ox while it treadeth out the corn. Do you know that Israel was so selfish that Yahweh had to create a law because they would take the animal, and what the animal would do was walk around. They would bring the wheat in, the corn in, right? And they would have an animal walk on it like an ox, okay? And it would tread the corn. It would grind it down, get off the husk because they worked the corn, right? They would work it. They would work it. It would work it. So then they could pack it up and haul it out. Well, they were so selfish that they wanted to muzzle the ox while the ox treaded the corn because they didn't want the ox to bend his mouth down to the ground and get just a little bit. Did you hear what I said? And get just a little bit. There was plenty. There was an entire field of it. And the ox just wanted a little bit to quench his hunger as he was doing the work. The ox just wanted a little bit, a tenth, to be able to sustain his belly so he could continue to do the work. But they were so selfish, they wanted the ox to do the work, and they didn't want to feed the ox. They looked at more of a profit. Let's just starve the ox and control his eating because we want to put our hands on it, and we want to hold it to us, and we'll give him just a tiny little portion, not enough to sustain him. So if you want to hear the word being preached, if you want people to labor in the word for you, well, what do you need to do? Help sustain them. Yeah, you got questions that you want to bring to the leadership. You have help that you need in your life that you want to bring to the leadership. You want guidance. You want videos. You want explanations. You want to come to feast. You want all of that given to you. But what do you give back? Don't worry, somebody will give. Don't worry, somebody is hard as prick. Somebody is going to be doing it. Somebody's going to contribute. And you know what happens when we go to the feast days? Very, very little people even want to contribute. And if they won't do that at the feast days when they're sitting down with the feet underneath the table and the belly's up on it every single mealtime, do you think they do it throughout the year when they're not there? Oh, no, they don't do it. No, they don't do it. And some people just feel guilt-tripped enough to do a little bit when they're there. Oh, here's $5. And I don't make any light from somebody that don't have, you know in your heart what you're given. You know in your heart what you're given, but that's okay because the ones that truly hearts are in it, they give so much, it takes care of everybody else. Paul talked about the same thing where you have one assembly given so much that he had to take and rob from them to sustain the other assembly. Anyway, so let's get on to where to know how we want Yah to hear us and how we need to come in to him. Because if you don't think that Yah is listening to you and you don't know how to hear Yah, it's most likely you don't know how to come into Yahweh. You don't know how to come in to Yahweh's presence because you get lazy. You don't respect that which you cannot see. You see, sin separates you from the Most High Yah. We should know this. Isaiah 59 verse 2 reads, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, Pastor Corey referenced this verse in his Shabbat sermon. How many out there can give me another 7? How many out there is willing to type in another 7 if you could see the Ruach fire going through Pastor Corey on Shabbat service? How many of you can come in as a second witness and say, that man I know is spending time with the Most High Yah. That man I know's face was growing during the Shabbat service. How many of you can testify to that? How many of you were touched as a Ruach fire? We got 7s going all day long because there's no denying that he had to labor to make that a possibility. Pastor Corey definitely comprehends the idea and understanding and the laws that the sin will separate you from the Most High Yah. You see, we see this in his first rising in Bereshit chapter 3, verse 8. Bereshit chapter 3, verse 8 reads, "And they heard, Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa, heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden." Yeah, it says here that they hid themselves because they knew they were walking and operating in sin. Even a damn dog has enough sense if he got into the trash and got it all over the floor, or he was outside and he got into the chickens, and you walk up and you say, "Who got in these chickens?" Does that dog cower his head? Does that tail go between his legs? He don't come running up to you all nice and excited, does he? Not when he's guilty, he don't. Now, if he wasn't the one, if it was a fox that got in the chickens, if it was a wolf that came and got into the chickens and crept in, well, that dog would come up all ready to go, would he not? Right at your feet, ready to be guided and ready to be directed. The same way with your children. You know which one of them are in trouble. I can walk into a room and see that my child is up to something. All the way from 14 years old down to 7 years old, if I walk into the room, I can tell just by their manner of speech something's off. And I said, "What do you got to tell me? What's on your heart?" "I don't want to talk about it." Yeah, then you don't want to talk about it because you're operating in sin. You're operating in iniquity, and so you're hiding your heart from me. And that's why it says, with their lips they will praise you, but their heart is hidden far from you. Because they're deceivers, and they're liars, and they're hypocrites. Because as they grow older and you don't teach them the way they should go, that's the way that they hide themselves in their lawlessness. So it says here, that they were separated from Yahweh because of their iniquity, because of their sin, and they hid themselves from Yahweh's presence. So if you're operating in sin and you're operating in iniquity, you probably don't want to get down and pray. You just so happen to forget, don't you? You forget to pray when you wake up in the morning and all these other cares of life creep in. You lay your head on the pillow because it's so comfortable just that much longer till you're almost late to get out to work so you don't have to bother with your duty to God because you're hiding yourself in your bush that's in your heart. Tear those suckers out, man, because they got thorns and they got briars, and you need to get that bush out of the heart so you can be seen clearly of the Most High Yah. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 28, 6 through 7. It reads here, this is when King Saul, he didn't obey the voice of the Most High Yah, did he? He didn't obey the voice of the Most High Yah when he was to put everything under the ban, and under the ban means that they were to utterly destroy and to wipe it out. Man, woman, and child, all the possessions, all the animals were supposed to be wiped out when they conquered the land. Was it not given direction by Samuel the prophet to do that? Yes, it was. Go back and read the account. And what did Samuel do? I mean, what did King Saul do? He sees Samuel. And this is what I'm getting. You see that sometimes, like, it's the innocence, like you hide, at least you're convicted for goodness sake. At least if you hide, you're convicted for goodness sake. But what happens when your heart grows callous and you grow stiff neck and you don't even want to hide it anymore? Just as King Saul, when he heard the prophet Samuel coming, he ran up to Samuel and greeted him. He greeted him. Hey, how you doing? And Samuel says, what are you doing, Saul? What is this bleeding of sheep that I hear? This bleeding of sheep, what is it that I hear? Well, I got a good plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it under the ban. I'm going to kill it, but I'm going to do it in my own way. Not Yah's way. I'm still going to kill it. I'm just going to do it in my way. And we're going to take him in, and we're going to sacrifice him at the altar to the Most High Yah. See, that's what they do with Christmas. I'll worship Yahweh, but I'm going to do it in my way. That's what they do with Easter. That's what they do with these anniversaries and these birthdays and this Halloween and this Valentine's Day and all these other perverted days, the pride days that they got going on with the homosexuality. You know, that's what they're going to do. We will worship you, Yah, but we're going to worship you in our own way. We'll sacrifice to you, Yah, but we'll do it on our own time and we'll do it in our own way. And did that go over well? No, it did not go over well, did it not? And in fact, Samuel said that it's going to be stripped from you, Saul. The spirit's going to be stripped. The kingdom's going to be stripped. It's going to be given to one better than you. Oh, that's more than I can bear. Oh, no, you've had enough chances. The Most High Yah has spoken, and as he grabbed onto Samuel and the mantle of Samuel ripped, he says, so as the kingdom shall be ripped from your hand. This is serious, saints. Big time. There's sins that you're doing. There's things that you were doing. That every little bit that you give yourself over to Satan is a little bit of your heart that's ripped out from you. A little bit is torn out from you. Do you think it can all be put back together again? Well, that depends on you. And Saul, he didn't get down and he didn't beg and he didn't come to the Most High Yah in a broken spirit and a broken heart, did he? No, he was cocky and he was arrogant. And so in 1 Samuel 28, 6 through 7, it reads, when Saul inquired of Yahweh, Yahweh answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim. The Urim and the Thummim was what the priest would cast in order to get an answer. And no, nobody today is qualified to be casting Urim and Thummim. That's what you got the Ruach for. That's what you got the Ruach for. That was done by the high priest. That was done by the high priest. Who's your high priest now? Yeshua HaMashiach. So every camp and all you people out there that think you can cast Urim and Thummim and lots, you don't know what it is you're doing. You got the Holy Spirit to guide you now. It says, and why would you want to go back to some Urim and the Thummim, some stones? Why would you want to go back to some locks when you got the Ruach burning and operating inside of you? That tells me they don't have the Ruach, so they got to find a counterfeit. They got to find the shadow instead of the image. But it says that they were not answered by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit. This is a witch. This is a witch at in door. So did Saul sit here and say, you know what? Yah was not talking to me. Yah was not answering me. So I need to get my heart right. I am erring somewhere in my life. The kingdom stripped. The physical land stripped. Why don't I work on my own salvation with fear and trembling and prostrate myself before the Most High to get myself right? Did he do that in order to get an answer? No, he tried to go another way to get an answer because of his stiff neck. Many of you do that. You pray to the Most High Yah for deliverance. You cry out to him for an answer. And when you don't get the answer, you try to go another way. You try to find somebody who is living right, and you ask them the question. I've been praying, and I'm not getting an answer. Can you answer this? Can you give me some guidance? Can you give me some direction, pastor, teacher, elder, deacon, head of community? Can you give me some guidance when the Most High Yah isn't speaking to you? Why don't you get on your knees and cry out to the Father in the correct way, and then, yes, just maybe then, Yahweh would communicate back to you, and you would have an ongoing conversation with the Father. Sin separates people, saints. Ephesians 2, 12, 13 reads, that at the time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the inheritance of Israel, and why were you from without? Why were you alienated from Messiah? Because of your sins. And because of your sins and your transgressions, in which you were held dead in, you were then considered to be a stranger. Yeah, your blood didn't count. Your genealogy chart didn't give you any credit. Because of your sins and transgressions, you were counted strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, no expectation, and without Elohim in the world. But now, see, sin separates Israel, but the blood connects. I said sin separates, but the blood connects, because now in Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Messiah. So if you are separated from Yahweh, it is because that you haven't washed yourself correctly in the blood of Messiah. You got to think about the way that you come to the Most High Yah, that you don't treat him like he's just some person here on earth that you can just have your way with, or that you can manipulate, that you can coerce, that you can perform witchcraft and trickery. No, he knows all things straight to your heart. And you must come to him the correct way as king. You must come to him as king. Most of you would show Pastor Dow more respect when you go to his land than you would show the Most High Yah in your own home. Because it's all about I pleasing. It's all about you, when it should be all about the Messiah. That's why the adage goes, a new broom sweeps well, because you can sweep well around the saints only for so long, but they're going to be able to discern your heart because you weren't coming to Messiah in the correct way and giving him the honor that he is due as the creator of the heaven and the earth and all that in them is. We see this, Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. Yeah, we will be your workers, Yahweh. Yeah, we will come before you, Yahweh, but we will come in our own way. Just like Saul. Oh, we will do the work. All you leaders out there need to hear that. You need to hear that. Because you are the ones that the people are looking to. You want the double honor, but you must live your life above reproach and know that you're going to be judged even more harshly because of your position. And were they not judged harshly right here? Because what does it say? And there went out fire from Yahweh and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. There was no rebuke. There was no correction. There was no, hey, next time come in this way. There was swift judgment. Why was there swift judgment? Verse 3. Then Moshe said unto Aaron, this is it that Yahweh spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me. Who come the nearest to you but the leaders of the Most High Yah? Have a special place to get in a little closer, so that way they can be fed with knowledge and understanding, so they can feed it out to the flock. But it also goes to anybody that comes up. What about you husbands out there, your ishis, the heads of your household? What about you? When you ridicule, you know, when you correct, I take not ridicule, but when you correct your children, when you have to rebuke your wife, but then you come to the Most High Yah in a foreign way in which he has not commanded, and there's a higher judgment upon you. Because for all you husbands out there, Yahweh will be sanctified in you when you come near to him. And he will be glorified. It says, before all the people, I will be glorified. And at that, Aaron knew enough to shut up. Aaron knew enough to hold his peace. Because there's no arguing when Yahweh puts forth the judgment. So we need to look at our life when Yahweh's not hearing us, when we're being rejected. And how do you know Yahweh's not also hearing you? Because you look at the fruit. That's why I spoke so heavily about the work that Elder Mitch is doing, about the work that Elder Rufus is doing, about the work that the brothers out in Indiana are getting done. And there's many more saints that are getting the work done. You know, Pastor Corey is getting the work done out there. We've seen that. They're all getting the work done, and we can see by the fruit. So if you are working and you believe that Yahweh's guiding you, but you don't have good fruit to show from it, then you're clearly not hearing from the Most High Yah. You're clearly walking in the wrong direction. So you need to get yourself sat right and come the correct way. You know, my father-in-law had a fruit tree. True story. My father-in-law had a fruit tree, and he watered that fruit tree. Oh, he took such meticulous care. He sat there and he fertilized that fruit tree. And the fruit tree kept getting worse and worse. And he couldn't figure it out. Boy, he read up books on the fruit trees. He went and got advice from other people with wisdom greater in that area than he had on the fruit trees. And they said, well, maybe you should try this. And maybe you should try that. And he couldn't figure it out. It wasn't producing good fruit. So one day, he got the idea, you know, maybe it's not what I'm looking at and I can see. Maybe it's that which I cannot see is the problem. So he got a shovel, and he started digging, and he got the grass out of the way, and he started digging deeper, and he got the dirt out of the way, and he started digging deeper till he got all the way down to the roots. And you know what he found at the roots? That there was a knapsack, what they call a guinea sack, a brown cloth sack around the roots. When that was planted, it wasn't planted in the correct way. And so the roots could not grow and gain all the nutrients from the soil. They were bound. So no matter how much he watered, there was no growth. No matter how much he fertilized, there was no growth. He had to go down to the root of the problem, and he had to unbind the tree so that it could grow. And after that day, it flourished, and much fruit came from the tree. So now you need to look at your own heart and examine what's down at the roots. What's binding me? Did I not come in the correct way? And because I don't repent from that, I'm still held in that bondage. That's why David said, I want every sin to go out before me. Father, reveal it to me so I can repent. so I don't have all hardly any transgressions come after me. See, Amos 5:22-24 reads, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your viols, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Well, why would Yahweh have to say, let judgment run down and righteousness run down? Well, because they forsook his law and they weren't coming in the correct way. So even though they tried to bring in their sacrifices and their offerings, your prayers, right? It falls on deaf ears. So I want you to think about everything I said. And we're going to now take this into the spiritual. See, there's only one mediator between man and Yah. And that is Yeshua HaMashiach. Do you know what a mediator is? Well, that means that, you know, you have somebody that you can filter through to get to the pureness of Yah. Because you're still in your sin of flesh. You still aren't perfect. There's only one that was perfect. So you need Yeshua HaMashiach to filter out all your transgressions so the pure word can reach the ear of the Most High Yah. And what you try to do is bypass the mediator and come in dirty and stinky as if Yahweh would hear that. But 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, and that is the man, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So it ain't Mary. It ain't your pastor, and it ain't your teacher and your elders and so forth and so on. It ain't your husband's wives. It's Yeshua's the mediator. Now, you have to be living right and living honorable, do you not? But you yourself have to come and come to the feet of the Most High Yah. You can't have your husband do it for you. You can't have your pastors and leaders do it for you. You must have Yeshua HaMashiach do it for you. John 14:6 says, Yeshua said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. And he said that right to the ears of those Pharisees, Sadducees, and it got to the high priest too. Wait a minute. Hey, you can't be doing sacrifices out in the field. You got to come and get clean here. You got to come get clean at our altar, by our hand, by the blood of the bullock and the blood of the lambs and the goats. That's the only way you're going to get clean. And see, that was something for those people to have to unlearn. When they went in to repent and they brought in the goat of the sacrifice, their hands was upon it too, and they had that throat slit and the blood poured out. That was something. That was something tangible, something they could see. So it was hard for them to correlate. Now it's spiritual. Now the blood is from the blood of the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice that is shed for you, only but one time for your transgressions. So you need to come to him and him alone. But it felt so much more real when you went to the priest, didn't it? It felt so much more real when you went into those Catholic priests and said your Hail Marys and counted your rosaries, didn't it? Oh, it felt so much more real when I would just punish myself and make myself suffer. That made me worthy. No, it did not. The blood of the Lamb's the only thing that makes you worthy. And it's only by him. We know that in John chapter 1:14 it reads, and the word was made flesh. It says the Torah, the living word, was made into flesh that was able to dwell and able to be among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. It's just like the Torah. Oh, they think grace just came? Well, then how come all of Israel wasn't wiped out for all their sins and transgressions? I remember a prophet named Ezekiel. And I remember Ezekiel said that the Most High Yah was almost but begging you to repent from your sins so he could have mercy upon you. He says, all that iniquity you have done, I can undo it through my mercy, through my grace, so that you can be healed and live. So why won't you repent and turn back to the word of Yah and be healed, Israel, so that you can live? Isn't that what the prophet Ezekiel said? Well, how come prophet Ezekiel wasn't told to get the biggest stone and just start cracking people upside the head? Because we had a nation, we had it on a national level of iniquity. There was only but a remnant clinging on to the truth. We had all gone off. And so it's by Yahweh's grace. He says the maximum sentence is death for what you are doing. That's the maximum sentence that you are worthy of. But I want to show compassion on you if you would come with the right heart and come the right way. Then I wouldn't put the maximum sentence of death on you, but I would show you mercy. And if you don't know where in Ezekiel, why don't you go look it up? Why don't you go look it up where he says that it's not my ways that are unfair, Israel. Can you not see that? Because the maximum sentence, according to the law, is death for your sins and transgressions. So it's not me that's unfair, for I'm having mercy and grace. And what's my mercy and grace? The mouth of my prophets. But what did you do? You stoned them and you killed them, didn't you? You rejected them. So it's not my ways that were unfair. I tried every which way to get your ear, but you rejected me to cleave onto your own heart and your own selfish ways. So it's your ways that are unfair. And why is it Israel's way that are unfair? Because Israel only wants to come to Yahweh their own selfish ass way. Oh, we won't reject you from being our Elohim, but we will come to you in our own way and the way that we see fit. We'll live life the way we want to. Because we know better than you, Yah. Yeah, you're a bunch of little children that always think they know better than their mother and father. And then the law say to honor your mother and father such a day so that will be prolonged upon the soil which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee. And it's not prolonged because when you're rebellious as hell, you're brought up to the gates of the elders and you are put to death. So be like children that you would go to the Messiah and you're able to be taught right and not reject and think you know so damn much. And in fact, you're not children. You're a bunch of rebellious teenagers is what you act like. Think you got the world by the tail and that tail is running you straight into the ditch. See, we know that the word was made flesh, right? And we know here I'm going to show you that Jesus Christ says, Yeshua HaMashiach says, I am the way. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law, the Torah, is a light. And what does that lamp and that light do? It lights the way, the road, the narrow path that leads to everlasting life. And reproofs a way of restriction that are in the way, that are in the way, that are in the way of life. Yeshua HaMashiach says, I am the truth. Psalms 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy Torah is the truth. Yeshua HaMashiach says, I am the life. Devarim chapter 4, verse 21. It says, furthermore, Yahweh was angry with me for your sake, and swear that I should not go over to the Jordan. Is this what Moshe says? And that I should go in unto that good land. That he should not go in unto that good land, which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. And what I have here is that when you went into that land, you were given life. That was your inheritance. He says, choose who you're going to serve that you may have life and life more abundantly. It was our life to enter in to the covenant and the promise of the Most High Yah. You need to get ready your offering before you seek to enter in. And so what you read in the Torah, which became flesh, you need to put into operation in your spiritual walk in your life. We're going to do one more break here, saints. you know, go ahead and hit another 7 to let me know if you're tracking. And then we're going to finish up here, and I'm going to show you how to ready your offering and how to come in correctly to the Most High Yah, who is your high priest.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled LaFayette. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled StraightWay.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Oh, hallelujah. Devarim chapter 30, verse 14. Devarim chapter 30, verse 14. For the word is very near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That's exactly where Yeshua HaMashiach should be. To do it. See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil, in that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh Elohim, to walk in his ways, to guard his commands and his laws and his right rulings. And you shall live, and you shall live and increase. And Yahweh Elohim shall bless you and the land which you go to possess. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Most High Yah. So let's get into it. You need to ready your offering. Leviticus Wayikra, chapter 16, verse 3. Let you get that real quick, saints. Wayikra, chapter 16, verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, the set-apart place, with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So you need to have your offering ready when you come in to the Most High Yah, when you come in to the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. What I'm talking about is when you are going to pray, whether it be in your prayer closet or the time that you set apart to Yahweh to really dive in with him to Yeshua HaMashiach, you need to ready your offering, because should you come up empty-handed to the high priest, Hebrews 13:15-16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Elohim continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate. That means to share. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, Elohim is well pleased. When you come in, do you just come in with all your burdens, with all your troubles, with all your worries? You come in selfishly, only you wanting to be lifted up, only you wanting to be made feel better. I need all you Ish out there, all you husbands out there, I need you to listen up. All you husbands out there, listen up to me right now. How would you like when your Ishas came in for you, to you, that they were selfish? It was all about them. When you came in home from work, I said, are you listening to me out there, husbands? Do you hear me out there? Give me a yes. Tell me you hear me. When you come home from work, from a hard day of labor, bringing that bread home to put on the table, how would you like your wife to meet you at the door with all the gripes of the day, with all the complaints of the day, with all how this burned and that this, and the children did that, and blah, 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 blah. Would you like that? Would that edify your soul? Would you want to cuddle with her? Would you want to be intimate with her? Would you want to hear her? Or would you say, be still, woman. Steal your tongue. Let me get into the house first. Now you come in, right? Working all day. We got a one yes. We got one person listening to that. Good. Our family for Jesus. Good. Good. Because when you come in and you're working all day and you bust your rear end, you get into the house, what if your wife says, honey, I'm so glad to have you home. You're such a king over this house. I'm so honored to have you rule over us. I prepared a nice dinner, which is my offering to give you. Brother Josh says he receives it. Brother Josh says he receives it. I got a nice offering that I can give you, Master. I got a nice meal that I labored over and worked. Yeah, I burnt the first one, so that one wasn't good enough, so I threw it away and I baked you another. A suitable offering that I brought to you. Here, sit down. Eat. Let your belly be full. Let me massage your feet. Let me make it all about you. And then later, if she wants to pour out her heart, because she's the weaker vessel, do you hear what I said? If she wants to pour out her heart to her master, because she's the weaker vessel, we got a great analogy from Brother Jonathan. Brother Harris, love you. Hallelujah. But if she's the weaker vessel, so she needs to lean on your strength, so yes, you need to have an open ear to your wife's complaints, her heart aches, so you can help strengthen her and give her guidance. She's coming to you, so don't look at it as a nuisance. Don't look at it as a bother. Don't say that you got time for the TV. I need to go read the Bible. I need to go tend to all this other stuff. No, you take time for her too. You want Yeshua to take time for you, right, man? So you take time for her too, and then she can pour out the heartache of the day. And it would go on not a deaf ear, but a willing ear. Then she could pour out her heartaches. Then she could pour out her shortcomings. And that you could hear her. Because why? She came in the correct way. And in those type of sacrifices, Yahweh is well pleased. Leviticus 16, verse 4. He, the high priest, shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy, these are set apart garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, then he will put them on. So you have to wash your flesh. You have to be washed in the blood so that you can be dressed accordingly, that you can come in with set apart garments. These aren't the garments that you wore to work. These aren't the garments that you got in a fight with your wife in. These aren't the garments that you sat there and got all pissed off and the hell with your day in. Do you know what I mean? These aren't the garments that you went through the toils of the day in. These are set apart holy garments that you put on in order to come up to the presence of the Most High Yah. So you need to take off all the troubles of the day. You need to take off all your cares. You need to remove all your worries. You need to put that down aside so you can be clothed and you're in your right mind by the word of the Most High Yah. And then you can come to way, and you do this through obedience. Revelation 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation. And who are they? Those are the saints that endured, that persevered, that didn't take the mark. How did they not take the mark? Because they kept the commandments of Elohim and faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. And when you keep the commandments of Elohim, when you come in the correct way, what happens? It says, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So such as the high priest had to wash with the water, and then he would put on holy set apart garments so that he would be suitable to come up in front of the Most High Yah, you need to wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb and wash your spiritual garments in the blood of the Lamb so that they are set apart and they are Kodesh and they are white, meaning they lack all impurities of your day, of your life, of your iniquities. Psalms 141, 1 through 2. The song of David, as he sang unto the Most High, was this. Yahweh, I cry unto thee. Yahweh, I cry. You want your garments to be white and pure as snow? You need to cry out unto him and make haste unto me. Come quickly. Give ear to my voice when I cry to you. Isn't that what you all want when you cry out to the Most High Yah? That it wouldn't take a year. It wouldn't take 2 years. But that he would come hurriedly unto you when you cry? Of course you do. Of course we all do. And it says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That's what Yah was looking for. And in order to bring that incense, in order to bring that evening sacrifice unto him, you must come incorrectly. The high priest couldn't come unwashed. The high priest couldn't come in his work clothes and grab the set apart offering and think to come before the presence of the Most High. But there's a mediator. There's a filter that filters out all your iniquities, all your impurities, and makes you white as snow. You know that scarlet was a dye that they would put into material, and it was so strong of a dye that you couldn't get that color out. Once you dyed something with scarlet, it wasn't going to come out. No matter how much Tide you put on it, no matter how much Ajax you put on it, no matter how much Dawn degreaser you put on it, you were not going to get that scarlet out of that cloth. But if you take that cloth and you wash it in the blood of the Lamb, it says that cloth, that scarlet, will become white as snow, as the cloth originally was, back to a set-apart Kodeshness. Leviticus 16:6, as we see how to come before the Most High Yah. Leviticus 16, verse 6 reads, And Aaron shall offer his bullock the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. We have a high priest, saints, that doesn't have to make atonement first for himself, as is written in the book of Hebrews. We have a high priest that is perfect. He's not distracted with trying to get himself right, for he already is right, and you can be his sole focus. And that's Yeshua HaMashiach. He doesn't have to be concerned about his sins, for he was sinless. He can focus on you. What's the other principle that we get out of here? is that before you can go and start praying for anything else, after you bring in the sacrifice, after you praise him and you worship Yeshua and you glorify his name, because that's the sacrifice you're bringing in, right? And you're praising him and bestowing honor upon him. Now you can get into getting yourself right, asking forgiveness for your sins. But it doesn't stop with you, heads of household. You need to plead that the blood of the Lamb goes over your entire home, over your wife, over your children. Wife, you need to plead the blood over you, and you need to plead the blood over your children. Leaders out there in the ministry, you need to plead the blood over you, and then you need to plead the blood over your house, which could be the congregation of Yahweh if you're in that administration, or it could be your community or the people that you are directly over, the blood. Each one of them have to give their own personal account. But for you, you plead the blood to break any spiritual strongholds that is operating in that congregation. I do that all the time for my family. Anything that's dynamically operating in my life, I break any stronghold right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I unbind that right now in the name of Jesus. And any satanic force and any entity that's operating in her, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that it cannot operate and that it can be held until the day it is cast out. Reveal to me, Yah, any iniquity that is operating in my house, that is operating in my wife, that is operating in my children, and most of all, that is operating in myself, so it can be dealt with in Jesus' name and it can be cast out of our home. So if you have all sin, hell, and the devil, break it out in your children, break it out in your wife, or break it out with you, you need to pray prayers like this over your wife, over your children, and over your home. So there's no legal ground for Satan to operate there. But you can't be so focused on everybody else outside your house, bringing all your troubles and your worries, and so you're clouded and you're not focused. If you have faith that he that is in you is greater than he in this world, you wouldn't be distracted by all that anyway, because Yah already knows what you need. See, we see this type of prayer in the parable in Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. 9 through 14 reads, "And he, Yeshua, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous on their own account," you see? That means you just waltz up and pray because you just think you're so good and you're not unclean. And if you are in a state, because I get this question a lot, if you are in a state of uncleanliness, so if you have sex with your wife, right, and it has not been evening and you're in a state of uncleanliness, women that are on their menstrual, their periods, right, then they're in a state of uncleanliness. Whatever you did that brought you, maybe you touched a dead body, right? And you're in a state of uncleanliness. Plead that to Yeshua HaMashiach. Just be conscientious of it that you don't walk up in your dirty old clothes right up to the Father, because it ain't going to happen. But yes, you can pray in a state of uncleanliness. You plead the blood over you to make you clean, because it is not your righteousness, but it is his righteousness that makes you worthy and it makes you clean. It's just we're conscientious of these matters. That's something they never taught you in Christianity, to be conscientious. If you're on your period and you come up to the Most High Yah, that you're to be conscientious of that when you enter into the blood of the Lamb. To be conscientious of it. That doesn't mean if some calamity befell and you cried out to Yeshua in distress in a moment that you would be accepted. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. I'm talking about that you're conscientious when you come up and you want intimacy with him. And it says that here that their righteousness would be what brought them in, right? And so what did they do? They despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself to Elohim. Elohim, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I eat, now this is, this teacher Eric adding this in, I eat only vegetables. I through something that I'm doing, think I'm obtaining a better place with you than these other people are. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. You see what I've been trying to teach you this whole time? When you enter into the Messiah, they teach you Christianity. Oh, he's just a friend. You can just talk to him any old way you want. He's always got an ear to listen. And they try to demean him as you see him always trying to keep him in an infancy stage. This is the king and the ruler and creator of the heaven and earth and all that in them is, and is about acting like it. And see how this man, who is used as an example, it says that he wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. So now you know what happened with Saul in his heart and why he was abased and why he was never exalted. But then we can see David, why David would come in abased. So David was exalted. Because David said, you don't desire the blood of bullocks and a lamb, you know, lambs and all this. You don't want that. You want a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You want a broken spirit. You want us to come in because we're truly repenting. You don't want us to go out and willingly sin and say, oh, let me flip through my book and see what's the requirement for that sin. Yeah, I did this. Oh, here's your bowl, going home. People do that kind of stuff. Oh, I'll sin now, it's okay. I'll just repent for it before I go to bed tonight. I'll just say, I'm sorry, Yah, and do it again tomorrow. I'll just go to work this one Sabbath, and Yah knows my heart, I'll repent for it later. Well, if you plan to repent, why did you plan to sin? That's how come the word says, for those that know the way, but turn their heart from the way, those that sin willfully, there is no forgiveness of sin. Why? Because they're not even going to ask of it. Or if they do, they're going to come in the incorrect way. They'll come in like Saul did, and they won't come in like David did. But you can't forget the end of what David said. He said, if you come in that way, then you'll be accepted. Then at that time, you can bring in the sacrifices. Leviticus 16:13. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that is, upon the testimony that he not die. What he needed to do was he needed to have a veil of incense that the physical man would not die, that would cover the mercy seat. That veil for us today is Yeshua HaMashiach. He will veil us. He will cover us with his incense of purity and truth if you come in through obedience and if you come in abased. Ephesians 2:14-15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. That's that veil, and the mercy seat was on the other side. But Yeshua broke down the wall of partition. He broke down the barrier that separated us from Yah. So now that we can come directly to Yah through him and him alone, having abolished in his flesh the hatred, the law that was over us, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. We would be made new in him, so making peace. The law of ordinances, of the sacrifices, underneath the administration of the Levitical priesthood was abolished, that we can be brought in to the covenant of promise in Bereshit chapter 12 that was given, freely given, based on an oath that Yahweh could swear by no one greater than himself, that he gave to Abraham, that we could enter into that covenant of promise through through the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory to the King. That should bring so much joy to your heart. That should bring so much peace to your heart. And know that now we operate in the commandments and in the law underneath the administration of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the very image. Leviticus 16:14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Yeshua wants to sprinkle his blood upon you. There's nothing that you have in your life that is greater than the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. All those sins that you did in ignorance, all those times you fell short, the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach is greater than those sins. Be convicted, but do not be condemned. Hebrews 10:11-12. And every priest that standeth daily, because this was the high priest, right? The Levitical priesthood that was sprinkling the blood in that time. But now we're under the new administration, the administration of Messiah. And every priest under the old administration standeth daily ministrating and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never and can never take away sins. But this man, Yeshua, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim. So when you come to him and you bring in your sacrifice and you come in the right way, you got to first get all cleaned up, right? You got to get all washed up and you got to put on the holy set apart garments of the Most High Yah, your spiritual garments, that you can prostrate yourself, abase yourself before him. And then you bring in your sacrifice first. I said you bring in your sacrifice of praise first, that you can glorify his name and tell him he's worthy and lavish love upon him. That then you can bring your heartache and your desire and you can bring all your calamity and you can lay it at his feet and you can sacrifice it upon his altar. You can sacrifice your sins that are operating in your life upon the altar of Yahweh. You leave them at the feet of Messiah, and you don't pick them back up and take them with you. You leave them at the Melchizedek High Priest Yeshua HaMashiach's feet, and you fully slay those sins all the way. You don't do a little cut as if that sin could get up and walk up off the altar. No, you fully slay that sin till it's dead and it's finished and you leave it at his feet. And you know that the one that only had to sacrifice but one time, you can see him plead that blood over you as you've seen as a high priest would throw and cast the blood all over the altars and the mercy seat and the places and the people. The Yeshua is sprinkling his blood upon you, making you worthy, making you righteous. Leviticus 16:16, as we finish up here. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. Now the priest is getting to the uncleanliness of the nation. And because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. Saints, once you are done taking care of yourself and seeing yourself for who you really are and being cleansed, then you plead the blood over your household, men, over your household, leaders, over your congregation, over those that you have the rule over. You plead the blood. You plead the blood over your direct house. Then plead the blood over the nation of Yahweh's people. Cry out, and and a collective cry that Yahweh would hear our cries where we come from the place of bondage in which we were scattered for our disobedience, as we once cried out and our voices out of Mitzrayim reached the ears of the Most High Yah, and he sent his deliverer, he sent his mighty right hand to bring us out of that captivity of bondage through such a way that they talked about it all the way to 2021, all the great miracles, signs, and wonders that Yahweh did, and how he baptized his people through the Red Sea, and he gave them such righteous laws that none of the nations had, that we said that we are a people above all people upon the face of this earth, that we are the apple of his eye, that we are his firstborn son, and that you would cry out as they would once cry out, and that it would reach the ears of the Most High Yah as we cried out for our nation of Israel to come into repentance, to come into obedience, that we could be loosed from all of our sins and all of our iniquities, that those demons and that the hell's angels that are over all of us, that are bringing us down into bondage, that we take away all legal ground in and through the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. These princes that we've seen over the cities of the heathen, that it doesn't come in and upon us. Cry out for your family. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 through 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of Elohim? Because did he not sprinkle upon the mercy seat the priest? Did he not sprinkle upon the altars? On the altar, do you not sprinkle the tabernacle? Well, know that ye are the tabernacle of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim, does he not dwell in you? And if any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, of which temple ye are. Do you think of your body that way? Do you think of your body that way? You need to start. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, saints, if you do not have the Ruach in you, you need to get before the Most High Yah and find out where you're not making the, where you've been found unworthy. Because you can only pray for your nation. You can only pray for your people. And have Yahweh work, it says that you pray this in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto, which all perseverance and supplication for who? For who? All saints. We need to care about our brothers and sisters too. If you can't love them, which you can see, how can you love him, which you cannot see? As we see in Leviticus 16:21, we saw that Aaron, with the live goat, did he not confess the iniquities of the children of Israel on the goat? All their transgressions and sins, when he put his hand on the head of the goat and sent them away into the wilderness? We need to pray that for our people. All right, saints. I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to hear this. And if you're hearing this recording later on, that I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that it blessed you and expect that it blessed you. I pray that you stay focused. You stay moving as hard as you can. And that you know, always judge if you're walking correctly based off your fruit. Dig down deep. Dig underneath the soil, down to the roots of your heart. See what is binding you there. Have Yeshua HaMashiach ask him to deep dive down into your soul. I know that when there's nothing like deliverance with your brothers and sisters. There's nothing like it. It can't be replaced, because that is where iron truly sharpens iron. And yet there is also deliverance that you can do between you and Yeshua HaMashiach. And I have been delivered of some powerful demons that had me held captive in the quiet times. When I got before Yeshua and I said, Yeshua HaMashiach, you know what's separating me from you. You know what's binding me. I can feel a disconnect. I don't believe that we're as close. I don't feel as close as we have been. Show me where I'm not being pleasing to you that I can get it right. What husband wouldn't love his Isha to talk to him like that? And I said, you know what's wrong with me. Dig down into my heart. See what's at the root holding me captive, that I can be set free. Deliver me from the evil that binds me. And then I'm quiet. And I don't say a word. I'm just in agreement that he will deliver me. And I have been delivered, saints. Oh, have I been delivered and had peace and overcoming. Allow Yeshua to search you. He knows where you need to be delivered. He knows where you are falling short. And then when you come before him, do as I instructed you today. Treat him as ruler of the universe, king and the creator of all that in them there is. Treat him as the only true mediator, the true high Melchizedek priest, the way, the truth, and the life, the door in which you must enter, that there is no way under the Father but by him. Don't forget this. Bring in your sacrifice. If praising was easy, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. And praising will take away spirits off of you. We see it recorded. The spirit of heaviness will flee. And then you'll have peace and understanding. And then he will put an ear towards you. And he will hear your voice because you took the time to come in correctly. And you're clothed in the set-apart garments. And you've been washed clean in his blood. And you're going to see such victories come in your life. Such movements come in your life. And this has got put in my heart right now. So I'm going to say this. I pray, Yahweh, that any of us saints that are going in a way that you don't want us to go, Father, we think we're going in the right way, but it's not quite the right way. We're going a way we think is prescribed, but we're going in our own way. We're saying we'll get the job done, but we'll do it our way. I pray right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you close every door, put every barricade in the way, and you redirect your top ones, your saints, onto that narrow path. You redirect us. You put that shepherd hook out. And I don't care if you have to break the leg of one of us. You bring us back in onto the correct path. And every door would open. Every road would be clear. You'd have nothing but bright sunshine gliding up your way as a Torah would light up your path. And the fruit would blossom and grow as you walk down the correct way headed to the kingdom. All right, much love. Get after it, saints. Work hard this week. Brand new week for us. We're already headed now into day number 2. So keep focused. Keep your eye on the prize. And no matter what, through all the hardships and troubles, know that your King, he is coming.